CliffCentral.com. Good morning. It's Thursday, 15th. It's the middle of November. Oh my God. It's so little of this year left. Oh wow. Isn't it hectic?
Did you have to think about that for a second?
No, it's madness. I mean, here we are. Almost at the end of this week, which means we've got... Just, let's figure it out quickly. I want to see how many weeks there are till Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. You've got to think, right? You've got to plan. You've got to get ahead and start making sense of this. So we've got this weekend. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six weekends till Christmas. Yes. Because you think the end of the year, you think of it in your head, right? I have a problem with imagining time in my head. Because sometimes I look forward to something and then the time in between seems forever. And sometimes I just kind of see the week and I go, I'll enjoy every day this week and try to make sense of every day this week and try to keep time exactly the same in between. It's all perception. It's all made up. But 6 weeks till Christmas, yo, that is hectic.
So we basically have about 4 working weeks left.
Not even. I would say down to probably five. Maybe four. Maybe three even. Maybe even three, because people, the minute December rolls around, people just stop. They stop. You can see it already. I'm trying to get like answers out of people for meetings and like important decisions we've got to make before next year. And people are like, well, you know, we'll get back to you. You're like, come on. Get your shit together, everybody. The year is not over yet. People will immediately start thinking of their holidays of December, and then they go off piste. They just disappear.
I went for dinner last night with a friend of mine, and if you think I'm quite the socialite, she brings a whole new different spin. And we were trying to make up a date for our next catch up, whether it's like drinks or whatever the case is. And she opens up her calendar and she's already like, I'm in December mode. I'm like, what does that mean? When am I going to see you again? She says, wait, no, this Wednesday, there's drinks there. Yeah. I'm away for
people
this weekend.
They're now filling up their weeknights with stuff as well.
Yeah. She's not in a spirit of, oh, yeah, I'll be at the office, so it's fine. Let me make time to see. She's away all the time. She's partying all the time. This is what December brings around.
Yeah, it's funny. I did that on Tuesday night. I actually had drinks with a friend of mine, and I normally wouldn't do that in the week. But because, you know, it's almost the end of the year, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's do this.
Oh, and the weather allows. It's nice and warm in the evenings. Nice. So everything. Good.
So let's look at messages for this morning. First of all, Guillermo, who says, hey, Gareth, on today's show, could you please not say cliffcentral.com every 15 minutes? You've pointed out previously how radio DJs are forced to do this by station managers, and since then I've picked up on it, and it's true. They do mention the station name every 10 seconds. Now I've noticed you are starting to do the same. It's freaking me out. Uh-huh. All right, Guillermo, I'm going to try and pay attention to that. I try really hard not to, because you don't need to be reminded. It's not radio. The reason that radio DJs do that is for ratings.
Really?
Yeah, because the ratings diary comes around. And it's an actual diary you fill in as a listener. And then they either pay you or they give you like a, you know, food hamper. I don't know what it is that they give people. It's horrible. Anyway, and then you will report how many times you listened to that station that week. So in order to get into people's heads, it's neuro-linguistic programming. The radio stations tell their DJs to say the station name over and over again. Have you heard this? No, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where they say, this is whatever the frequency of the station is, and they say it over and over and over again because they want you to remember it when you fill out the diary.
I've always wondered about that because when I tune in, I know what I'm tuned into.
Mm-hmm.
So for me,
well,
it's
especially
always
online, right? I mean, if you're listening to us, you know, because you had to press a few buttons to get there, and you can look at the screen and you can see what you're listening to. And it's ridiculous because these days, You would imagine that it was unnecessary for stations to do that because you can see the name on the radio if you listen to radio, or you can see it on the screen of your phone or whatever. But they still do it because they need ratings. So the more that they mention their name, the more it sticks in your head, the more you are likely, if you are one of those, I don't know, 10,000 idiots who get the ratings diary, you'll fill in that station's name. So that's why we were trained like apes to do it.
get into people's head.
That's what it, I promise you, it's exactly what it is. Station manager will call you in.
They I'm so call right.
me. Hi, Gareth. Would you please say the station ID 5 more times an hour?
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'd go, oh, did I only say it 4? And I'd go,
yes, I'm afraid. I've counted and they're only 4. And you need to say it 5 times in an hour.
I'd say, oh, you know what? This has been a great meeting. Thank you.
Is this where it comes to an end? Well, the meeting is done.
I'd walk out of there and go, you fucking idiot. Straight away. There is not one of these morons that you could respect. Not one.
But speaking of management, yesterday myself and some of the Cliff Central team were invited.
Our whole management team.
Well,
you our team. Dari and Greg, that's pretty much the management team. You all went off to, where was it?
Wait, pause just right there. You cannot mention how like management is weird and odd and then you call us management.
You are management. You're our management team. That. It's true, right, Nolo?
Shade.
Yeah. No.
So what happened with you three? Where did you go? Hear no actually, evil, speak no evil, see no evil.
The Three Musketeers. Yeah,
where did you go?
We were invited yesterday to an event called a pod meet.
Yes.
Which is a gathering of people in South Africa who are really into podcast culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were invited to speak on the cliffcentral.com journey. People wanted to learn from us, how we're doing things differently.
I saw they were recording you.
Oh, yeah. It was very intense.
Where was it? The Wits Art Museum?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had to take a picture for my mother. I was like, Mom, I actually made it to Wits. Your dream finally happened. So she was a bit impressed there. But it was actually cool to get into a room of people. And it was quite a crowd of people who understand everything about podcasting. They understand the movement that's happening. They understand content on demand. They don't.
Right.
Get this whole need for station ID every 2 seconds, right, or a top 40 chart.
People talked about this?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, there we go, you see.
It was a whole fascinating conversation that took place yesterday afternoon, so it was quite cool. Not Guillermo's this ape-like culture.
But Guillermo's onto it then. No, but there are still people, I mean, this is why radio is so outdated and ridiculous. And there's still people who ask me from time to time, and they mean well.
Mm.
They're not trying to be ignorant, and they go, you know, do you miss being on radio? I mean, that would be like going up to a slave after emancipation and saying to them, do you miss slavery?
Really? Really miss the okay. 12 years of
okay,
slavery?
Okay, I'm trying to dramatize.
What the Ebonics is going on? Oh, master.
Dramatize.
Anyway, but it was very cool.
No, yeah, look, yeah. I don't miss it at all, but it's they used to actually get very uppity if you didn't do the right number of mentions. They were very serious about it. Very serious.
I cannot imagine.
Brendan says, morning team, I'm finishing work on the 14th of December. I'm only going back on the 14th of Jan. Wow, you get a whole month.
Oh.
Listen, I heard yesterday about someone we know who's going away for 3 months. So someone says to me, well, you can go away for 3 months because these days everything's online. And I'm not convinced you can do that. First of all, I think 3 months is totally indulgent. Totally indulgent. The longest I've ever been away from work since I was 18 years old is probably 12, maybe 15 days. And I hated it. When it got to 10, I was ready to go back. You have to have purpose. You cannot have a holiday nonstop. I know very rich people who they have to keep themselves busy. They have to have things that are they have to wake up for. Not that they want to wake up for. If your life is filled with just want, it's going to be a meaningless life. You have to have the musts. You have to have the stuff that you got to do even if you're not keen. The work stuff, the managing people stuff, the vision stuff. You've got to have that. You know, there are billionaires who, they don't stop working. They get to 80 years old and they keep on going.
Do you know what makes me disagree?
What?
A Dan Bilzerian type of lifestyle.
Dan Bilzerian,
it's very like on the other side of the scale.
Yeah, Dan Bilzerian is a hedonist. And, well, it means he's only interested in fun, which is cool. I mean, who isn't, right? At some level, we're all a little bit hedonistic. But the guy, he's a poker player.
Yeah.
So he's never really had any ambition.
But he gets around. He makes his money there, sure. And then he lives.
If your purpose is to make money so that you can live, well, who am I to criticize? But that's a shallow way to live. Like, I would rather live to do amazing things and make money at the same time. If money's the goal, if money's the only thing that you're working for,
yeah,
I think it's kind of shallow. Like, I don't know how much real happiness you will have, because the richest people in the world didn't get there because they were chasing money. They got there because they were coming up with great ideas and they had vision and they wanted to improve people's lives or sell a product to people that would make their lives easier, more convenient.
Mm.
Yeah, and then people go, wow, this is an amazing product. I will pay you for developing this product.
Okay. So I hear you there.
Money's the byproduct.
Yeah.
Like, for a guy like Dan Bilzerian, he's not building anything. He's not, I mean, he's certainly having sex with a lot of whores, but... And who, you know, I'm not criticizing that. I think that's amazing.
This is a real thing.
No. He may get to a point in his life where he wants to, I don't know, settle down or make a contribution to the world. For now, I mean, how old is he? He's like in his early 30s?
I think.
Is he older than that already?
Early 40s.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah. He's 37, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what happens with him. But the fact is, I spent some time yesterday with a guy called Adrian Gore.
Oh,
yes, from Discovery.
Very
and,
fancy.
And, you know, they launched their Discovery Bank yesterday. Now, Adrian Gore is worth a couple of billion rand. He doesn't have to start a bank. He could. Discovery Health is going to, and Discovery Insure, and Vitality, and all of their businesses they've already got are doing great.
Mm.
Why would you want to go bigger and risk it all again? But he can't help it. He's driven. He's ambitious. It's amazing. He wants to wake up every morning and he's not content with what he's already done, which is very impressive. He says there's more to come.
Ooh. That is
admirable. The sky's the limit. Oh, it's amazing. I love that energy.
But also, to each his own. And that's not me being like politically correct. I think
what do you mean?
If you really think, okay, it is what it is, I'm taking this time off, I don't know how you would do it.
If
because
you,
to me,
see,
yeah,
if you go
I need
away, if you,
routine.
Let's say you're employed or you're the employer.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter what position you have in a company. If you get 3 months of leave, they don't need you that much. If someone's prepared to let you go for 3 months, am I right, Nolo?
Yeah.
They don't need you.
I have to agree with this because, I mean, 3 months is a long time.
A quarter,
if
a
they
quarter
can
of
operate
the year.
Without yeah. you for that long.
Then they don't need you.
No.
A quarter of the year off.
Yep.
Well, yeah. They're in their own world and that's... I really, really don't know. Because I also... Interestingly enough, at the same dinner I was at last night, my friend's younger sister has finished a course that she was doing on the 2nd of November.
Oh, yeah?
And she'll only get back to studying on the 4th of March.
Wow. Wow. That's a school holiday is a different thing because
no,
kids...
But what are you going to do with yourself?
The reason they give such long holidays...
Months?
No, it's crazy. I can't... There's no way. You've spoiled, and you can do this maybe once or twice in your life.
Mm.
You go on a sabbatical, you need an extra long holiday. Let's say you retire. You turn 65 or 70 or whatever the retirement age is wherever you are, and then you decide it's time to treat myself. And my wife and I or my kids and I or whatever, we're going to go on a holiday. And then you take everybody away for a month. Let's say a whole month. That's amazing. So indulgent though. And my problem is the duration. Like, you never need to go away for 3 months. You never need... It's unnecessary. Am I right? I mean, maybe I'm very, very old-fashioned about this, but you need to be busy. You need to have some focus. 3 months. Crazy.
I don't want to use the stereotypical words like, oh, maybe this is what the trends are in the world. Maybe this is what the global pattern is.
No, you're doing
maybe
a good job of defending.
Millennials are.
Yeah. You took a 6-month sabbatical at one point.
True.
So you.
It is even a little more than that. It was 8 months.
Yeah. And I thought, because also you were in, what, 21? How old were you then? 20?
Yeah, 21. And I realized in my thought process, I still don't reckon that was a bad idea because it was, well, I have the luxury of certain things in my life. I have the luxury of time. I have the luxury of choice. I have the luxury
you've got youth,
of
you've got energy. You've got the ability
not having
to
any
start
dependence.
Again.
Right. So why not?
No, sure. But there are only certain times in life you can do that. And don't get me wrong. I'm probably just jealous. If I boil it all down and I take out all the bullshit, it's like a soup. If you leave it on the stove, what's left after you, it's all boiled away, all the water's gone, it's just this crusty jealousy. Mm. Maybe that's what it is. Sure. I'm just jealous. 3 months away, maybe deep down inside I just want that.
No, because as you, rightfully, as you pointed out, as you were mentioning this, you never had the opportunity to do that.
Mm. Well, I don't feel sorry for myself. No, most I've taken off of work is probably 10 days ever in a row. Not 10 days a year, but 10 days in a row. I've never done more than 10 days in a row. Yeah. I looked at my schedule once and I figured it was at a max 10, but usually it's only 7.
But I also think you're one of those people who wouldn't be able to take... Not even the 3-month example, I don't think you'd be able to take a month off with nothing.
Yeah, like I said, maybe it's just jealousy.
No, but what would you do with yourself? If you had really as much as people want this, to have no commitments, to have nothing to do, to wake up and get to...
That's a good question.
Yeah, very good question.
I feel like that would drive you crazy.
Yeah, I like to have something to do. I'm still not sure how some people do it, but maybe deep down that's probably just jealousy. Anyway, enough about me and enough about this, because you got to start thinking about these things, right? Have you got December plans? Have you been thinking about where you want to go? Have you got the budget? Because that's the real problem this time of year. And I see Christmas decorations are now all over the place. They're starting to play Christmas music, so you're in. Have you found out about Boney M? Are you going?
So, no.
You know, C has been talking to Boney M. They're actually coming to South Africa. It's the only place that still wants them.
I'm like, you guys need to come in for an interview here. They're like, no, yeah, take tickets. I'm like, no, we don't just want tickets.
Yeah, they don't want to come.
Well, no, I'll get them to.
This is like their.
It's not like
this
they have 40,000 things.
This is bonus time for Boney M. Right. This is where every year they're like, woo, thank God we were running low.
And I'm not blaming them at all. I saw this on social media and I don't know, I haven't fact checked it or whatever the case is, but I think it was probably 2 weeks ago when I saw a post about Mariah Carey's already back on one of the Billboard charts for her Christmas songs.
Yes.
So same thing.
Everyone will play that with Boney M. I Don't Want a Lot for Christmas again. All I Want for Christmas is You. Isn't that what
it's called? I played it for the first time yesterday.
You did. Wait, in your car? You did?
I was listening to it while I worked, actually.
I'm imagining Sia sitting there while he's working with his headphones on, listening to Mariah Carey going, I'm in the spirit and these people are not.
I often think you guys probably judge me, but yesterday was that and a bit of the Spice Girls since they're coming back officially. So I was listening to that.
We judge you, but who cares? All right, a couple of things that are going on this morning. There's loads of news, and we'll get to the 5 things you need to know today. Let me give you a quick rundown of what's happening, because you need to plan your day.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you only have time for a little bit of something. So we've got a whole lot of rest in peace Gord emails, because, you know, people want to know whether or not Gord is still alive. He is, but barely. He'll probably join us next week. We'll try and drag his carcass in here and see if he's able to.
Yes, we haven't put him down
actually
yet.
I got a message from him yesterday. So people are asking, but I love the way all the emails are signed off. Rest in peace Gord. The Burning Platform today, of course, brought to you by Nando's at 7 o'clock, and that's going to be with Ivo Fechter today. I'm going to talk about Barbara Hogan's testimony. We'll talk about Malusi Gigaba's resignation, which is the big political story of the week, and a proposal to have the right of voters to recall ward councillors. Now, that's amazing. That sounds like a major breakthrough. Then an interview I had yesterday with Adrian Gore about the launch of the Discovery Bank. And we'll take your comments on that because I see loads and loads of messages and emails and WhatsApps, and people have very strong opinions about this Discovery Bank. Rosie Thomas will join us. She's a director and producer for BBC's new series, Dynasties, BBC Earth. Holy hell, is this a good show?
Right.
Oh, all right. So I saw the trailer. I haven't been excited about a show for a long time. You know, Ben, for example, is always going on about how I don't watch enough series and I'm so far behind and I have to catch up.
Well, even listen, Civ yesterday was on it.
Civ and Gessie was on to me yesterday telling me what's wrong with you. Which one was it that I have to watch that he's talking about?
Oh, he pointed out three things yesterday.
It was like that one about the cops, the
Shield.
The Shield, yeah.
And there was something else. I think Breaking Bad.
I still haven't done that. Anyway, point is, this is called Dynasties, BBC Earth's Dynasties. They follow five animals, individual animals, in their whole life cycle. I mean, can you imagine how long this took to film? How much work went into this? Imagine how much they've left out that they cut, that they didn't show us, because the time period is just absolutely awe-inspiring. They follow a chimpanzee, a tigress,
a painted wolf,
a African wild dog. Mm-hmm. What else is there? A penguin, an emperor penguin. And one other animal. I think it's a wolf or something. I don't know. But these animals.
A lion.
Mm. Thank you. These animals and their lives. You get to know them like they're humans. It's extraordinary. And the filming is just first class. It's HD. It's slow motion. It's drone photography. It's close-ups. You can feel the animal breathing. And the way they've edited this thing together is just a work of art. There's no other way to put it.
Shucks.
God, it's magnificent. So I can't wait to talk to her. She's coming in a little later at 8 o'clock. So, are you excited? There's lots to do.
Yeah. Talk about that for a Thursday.
Oh, definitely. So I spoke about posting that Amy Schumer thing yesterday, and I was just going to ignore it and let it carry on. Well, Cosmo magazine, they can't help themselves. I don't know who's running, which coven of witches is running that magazine anymore. But I don't even know how they're in business, frankly, anymore, because I don't know anyone who reads it. And they can't be making money because magazines are not making money. But let's suspend that for a second.
What happened?
Someone wrote an article on Cosmopolitan COZA.
Mm-hmm.
Gareth Cliff is out here publicly fat-shaming Amy Schumer, and it's not okay. Now, first of all, if you write like that and if you talk like that, you have to be a 16-year-old girl. There's no one else who says, Gareth Cliff is out here publicly. Out here. Just say, Gareth Cliff says Amy Schumer's fat. Or Gareth Cliff is fat shaming Amy Schumer. Or whatever. And it's not okay. I'm not trying to be part of your high school gang. I'm not trying to get into the mean girls. What is wrong with you? And by the way, when did it become about fat shaming and not about humor? And I've always maintained, and we've spoken about this endlessly on the show, that I know I'm no oil painting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I often talk. When did I talk about my gunt last week?
Yes.
So I'm not publicly fat shaming anybody. I think fat is an eternal human struggle. We talk about BBC Dynasties. If they made one about any of us, it would be about how fat we feel. All right, everybody. Even I know thin people who have no reason, it's insulting to those of us who have no idea that these thin people like Sia, that they never ever understand what it's like to be fat. You'll never know.
Hey, sometimes my jeans.
Oh, please.
Your just jeans, tighten your, up your after jeans a meal. A little bit,
yeah, so you don't need to wear a belt some days.
Yes.
How dare you. Gareth Cliff is out here publicly fat-shaming Amy Schumer, and it's not okay.
So they wrote a whole article around your Instagram post.
And then they publish a picture, and they use a picture of me coming out of the court or whatever, because they always use the shittiest picture they can. But, I mean, who talks like that? I mean, Cosmopolitan, you should be ashamed of yourselves. And don't think for a second I'm going to apologize. And don't think for a second that people can't see how humorless you've become. What a bunch of, like, uptight outrage mechanics you are. Get over yourselves. Why don't you try and sell magazines the way you used to when you were successful.
Well, they can't.
Honestly. I know they can't. Shame. And then someone sent me a terrible picture of like Amor and Uist. Well, Amor's new album called Donkey Uist. Of course, it's a joke, but we've been talking about Amor this week, so I thought it would be funny to look at this. Donkey Uist is the new Amor album.
What are some of the treffers on the album?
What the Fuck Uist is the first song. Die Testament, that's the will. Mm-hmm. Ek het a fucking TV.
Because remember, fucking TV.
Because that's the only thing she supposedly got out of the divorce settlement in the end when the will was finally settled. Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
Oh, no.
A TV. And it wasn't even a flat screen. It was one of those cathode ray ones. Waar is al die geld? Is dit a Samsung? Kry ek DSTV ook? Ek gaan appeleer and ek, sorry, die hartseer wals. The aching heart waltz.
According to her Instagram, though, she is going to fight this court process.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The other day, she posted something along the lines of, what does fear... Oh, she says, fear has two meanings. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise.
Ooh. Well, good for her. You know what? I've got to say, for the longest time, if you were the partner of the deceased, you know, you're the living partner in a deceased situation, a situation where your marriage partner's dead, you just have to accept it. People mostly accept it. She's got some fighting spirit, this woman. And I've always liked her more. I've always got on with her really well. Did you get hold of her yesterday?
No, not yet.
She probably, if she's appealing, she won't be able to talk to us. But
no, I've spoken to someone who's part of her team.
I'd love to get her in here and actually just get to the bottom of it, because she will, now that, you know, US is no longer here and she can control, like, she probably will tell someone to tell the kids not to listen. So then she'll open up and she's so honest. I mean, that I've got to give credit to her where it's due. She's an honest storyteller. She'll come in here and let us write in, which I've always admired.
And I'm not just saying this. Just
they make the best guests when they're honest.
Yeah. I'm not just saying this because I'm buying face or whatever the case is, or being greedy, but I still believe she deserves the majority of the money.
Well, she's looking after the kids, right? The kids should get the money.
And she's just been through a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah.
she deserves. Yeah, right.
Okay, the five things you need to know today. You want to get into some news?
Yes, let's.
All right, where do we begin? Let's start with Eskom. Most of Eskom's power stations have been left with less than 20 days of coal supply. Can we please get someone in charge of Eskom who knows what they're doing? How many years has it been that this parastatal's been run like a spaza shop? Except I know spaza shops that are run well. And it's just the most incompetent people in the whole South Africa that end up running Eskom. How is it possible? We have such smart people in this country. I'm talking about people who've got qualifications in engineering, people who've got qualifications in administration, people who've done MBAs. There are very, very smart people in this country. Why can they not come to Eskom and help us sort this out? Why do we keep appointing dummies? You need to be able to plan ahead. It's logistics and planning. And come on, there are people who can do this. Why did they never end up at Eskom? Because now they're struggling to keep the country's lights on as the coal stockpiles are declining at power stations. Eskom have warned the risk of nationwide power outages increases daily. Well, do something about it. Huh? I mean, what's that?
Either than sending out a press release about this information.
Oh, the terrible things are coming, but can you fix them? Well, yes, we probably could. Then why are you telling us terrible things are coming? Fix it.
The reality of today is really about who you know more than what you know or how much you know. If you don't have access to, you know, the people who are the door openers.
Yeah, you're saying like Carter deployment.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
The risk of load shedding is always there. The difference is how we manage it. They have the cheek to say things like that. That's Kulupasiwe, who is the spokesperson for Eskom. We are not in a position to pay at the highest level because of our financial situation. So the coal is there, and it's not a problem. The issue is the pricing. Okay, so you guys have spent yourselves into a hole, And now it's everyone else's fault. Unbelievable. So less said about Eskom, the better. AfriForum and Julius Malema are, you know, still after each other. AfriForum say Julius owes them 400,000.
For what?
Well, listen to this. So AfriForum say the economic freedom fighters and Julius Malema separately owe them more than 400,000 after losing two separate cases in the High Court in Pretoria. What happens in a court case is you end up with costs awarded. One of the sides has to pay the cost or they split the costs. Now, in this case, Julius lost twice and therefore has to pay the costs that AfriForum incurred. So the party had to pay them 300,000, but that bill has now increased after Wednesday. In the first matter, the party and Malema failed to file the legal papers regarding a case which AfriForum believes the Red Berets are in contempt of court for continuing to call for land invasions despite a court interdict in place. So they won that. And now they have to wait for Julius to pay them. So apparently they got the sheriff who was going to go around and take away Julius's furniture, computers, even his Breitling watch. Because you have to pay your debts. This afternoon, says Kali Creel of AfriForum, we got a fifth court order where they tried to get an interdict to stop us from removing their furniture and computers to sell them at an auction. That's the EFF. They're going to go to the EFF's offices, take their furniture and computers. I mean, how embarrassing.
Oh, wow.
And this is the court. So they found that the EFF, the EFF were in contempt. Anyway, we'll see what happens there, but that's hilarious. So here's AfriForum expropriating Julius's stuff with compensation. I think that's so ironic. Hey, everybody's going to be really wide awake. This is a very big and serious warning that's going around. You know, the festive season, it's all about scams, all about robbery, all about thieves. You've got to be on the alert. It's especially at this time of year that you need to be very aware of the fact that there are people trying to get their hands on your money. So from ATM card swapping to phishing scams, the South African Banking Risk Information Center has warned criminals have found new ways to swindle you out of your money this festive season. So a bit of a public service announcement as much as a news story today. SABRIC saying you have to be aware. Kalyani Pillay, who's the CEO, said, among other things, ATM card swapping, targeted robberies, the money bomb scam, and multi scams, as well as the most prevalent ways that criminals have always used to target unsuspecting victims over the festive season, seem to be getting worse. He says, with the money bomb scam, criminals would roll up what appears to be banknotes, but it's actually just paper covered by one authentic banknote. They'd then target a person leaving the ATM or a bank branch and strategically leave the wad of money in the victim's sight. But what they do when they drop this roll of money, they know that the person is going to stop. They then say to them they can jointly share the money, or they could go to a quieter spot where they can do the sharing of the money. When they get to that spot, they then obviously rob the victim of their actual money. You see what I mean?
Mm.
So this is something that's going on at the moment. So do not, I don't talk to anyone when I'm at the ATM.
Yeah.
Look around. Try not to do it at night. Try not to do it in some dark, dodgy place. Go to somewhere where it's very open. Make sure that the people in the queue ahead or behind you are legit people who are there to draw money.
And they keep their distance.
Keep your distance. Be really smart about it. Just look out. Look out, as OJ would say. And this is amazing. A super Earth has been discovered orbiting the closest single star to our sun. Scientists said on Wednesday in a breakthrough that could shine light on Earth's nearest planetary neighbors. Astronomers studied Barnard's star, which is a red dwarf just 6 light years away. That's practically in our back garden in universal terms. Galactically spinning around a frozen, dimly lit world, at least 3.2 times heavier than Earth. The planet, known for now as Barnard's star B, is the second nearest to Earth outside of the solar system and orbits its host star once every 233 days. So it has a 233-day year. It's just short of ours. An important discovery, they say, because it's really our next-door neighbor, and we like to meet our neighbors in general. That's someone from the Institute of Space Studies at Catalonia in Spain. Despite being relatively close to its parent star, the planet receives less than 2% of the energy Earth gets from the sun. So it's cold, it's dark. And the team estimates it has a surface temperature of minus 170 degrees Celsius, which is way too cold for anything to support life. It's definitely not in the habitable zone. There's no liquid water. If it has any water or gas, it's probably in solid form. So we call it a frozen planet.
Hmm.
Are you interested in that? I'm not. If you can't live there, I don't want to know.
No,
who cares? And then finally, in Geneva, a royal treasure trove, including jewels that belonged to Marie Antoinette, fetched 53.5 million Swiss francs on Wednesday.
Shucks.
Can you imagine your girlfriend, wife, lover, mother, sister, Christmas present?
Oh, never.
Open up a box. Oh, this is pretty. What's this? Oh, it just belonged to Marie Antoinette and is worth $53.2 million.
Who'd have to pay for that?
Yes.
If you say we must
imagine. Can you imagine? Held in private European collections for more than 200 years, 10 royal jewels that belonged to Marie Antoinette were passed down through Italy's royal Bourbon Parma family, featured among the 100 lots that all found new owners. The Marie Antoinette provenance is probably second to none. It's a record for the sale of royal jewels. Mm. Said David Bennett, chairman of Sotheby's. Ooh. The total exceeded the 50 million at the historic two-day auction of the Duchess of Windsor. Remember, she married the would-be King Edward VIII. And she had an amazing jewelry collection.
Ooh-wee.
Bidders in 43 countries participated in this sale. Now, you imagine going to an auction like that. You've got the richest people in the world sitting there bidding on individual jewels and items of jewelry.
Huh? Well, and I also think the richest people send their people.
Oh, they send their people. I mean, they don't go themselves, of course. And then you got the people auction. Who call in on the phone.
We'll put in $43 million for that, please.
43, we have 43. $43 million. Anyone on $44 million? $44 million. We have a 40. 53!
Now that is wealth.
$53 million. Gee. Can you imagine?
And they get to 53 million Swiss francs.
They're calling it the jewelry sale of the century. The top lot was an 18th century natural pearl and oval diamond pendant with a bow motif, which Marie Antoinette would suspend from a three-row pearl necklace. The pendant soared to 36.4 million Swiss francs, which Sotheby's said was a world record for a pearl. After 10 minutes of bidding. Whew. Now, you remember who Marie Antoinette was, right? You want a quick history lesson?
Let them eat cake.
That's right. An Austrian archduchess who married the future King Louis XVI and became Queen of the French. She secretly sent the jewels abroad in a wooden chest to her sister as they planned to escape from Paris. But the royal couple were arrested by the revolutionaries, remember? And then they were taken into the Place de la République. And they had their heads cut off with a guillotine.
They were taken to the who?
Place de la République.
What's that?
The square, the Republic Square.
Oh, Place de
la République.
I won't try that. I'll butcher that, so never mind.
She had her head cut off, and then they held it up, and the crowd went, ah! Oh. And all the women in the front who were knitting, they're called tricoteurs. These tricoteurs in the front row that were knitting dipped their wool in the blood of Maria.
Why?
Because they were twisted evil people in the 1700s.
Reason number 4,329 why living in 2018 is amazing. Yeah.
They wanted to dip their wool into the royal blood because then they could sell whatever blanket or jersey they were making.
That's
and
really
say,
twisted.
It is covered in the royal blood. So if someone calls you a tricoteuse today, then you know what they're talking about.
I'll give that a little pass, thank you.
No, we won't go into too much French history, but there we go.
Merci beaucoup, monsieur.
A monogram ring bearing Marie Antoinette's initials and containing a lock of her hair had been estimated at $8,000 to $10,000, but soared in bidding to a whopping $447,000. Isn't that amazing?
Whew.
Anyway, the person who bought the pearl and diamond pendant, the most expensive thing there, they wanted to remain anonymous. That's how you know they got serious money.
Mm.
They're not doing it for show.
And definitely they aren't getting this to wear it.
One day you'll go to fancy party in some embassy, and some woman will walk past you and go, isn't that that thing that sold at Sotheby's?
But do you think they'd wear it?
Oh, yes.
Something that expensive?
Very understated, but they'd wear it. They'd find an occasion to wear it at.
See, I just don't get it then.
Otherwise, it's also an investment. I mean, there's nothing wrong with just having it as an investment piece, but I think it would be worn once or twice. What's the point of having jewelry if you don't wear it, right? Anyway. All right, those are the five things you need to know today. An extended version, because we don't have sport, obviously. Ben's only here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But we do have Said by Sia, and let me quickly tell you what the cryptocurrency market is doing. If you are buying Bitcoin, 5,597, so dipping below the 6,000 mark. And same for Ethereum, dipping below the 200 mark at $176. Sia, what do you got for us today?
I always love feel-good stories like this. The Hansen family from Minnesota in the United States are all safe thanks to their dog, Milo. Their dog was able to pick up the beginning of a fire starting in their garage and was able in the middle of the night to wake everyone up.
Oh, wow.
And pull them away to safety. This is so, so cool. As much as now there's been $750,000 in damages after a fire has destroyed the home of the Hansons, everything lost is replaceable thanks to their dog Milo. So according to the family, they were all asleep. They couldn't smell anything because their garage is quite disjointed from their house. But regardless, it's close enough for it to do harm and damage to the house and also possibly them had they not woken up in time. And Kerry Hansen, the mother of the family, was the first one who was waken up by their dog Milo. Milo walked into the room and at first she just thought, oh, it's Milo doing what he usually does.
Alright.
What a cute little name, actually. Milo was the one who actually creeped up on her and kept on nudging her. And she tried to shoo him away, just thinking that he just wants to snuggle up or wants to sleep or whatever the case is. But because of his persistence, Kerry finally woke up and Milo started to walk towards the door. And Kerry followed him to the garage and finally saw that there was a fire starting and brewing in the garage. And Milo was then able to also walk around to the various bedrooms in the house and wake up the kids as well. And Kerry is saying that really, if it wasn't for Milo, heaven only knows what would have happened. So I think this is so, so cute and this is so cool as well. Kerry says that Milo ran to the garage and she followed him and was solid smoke in there. And after 10 to put the fire out themselves, it became clear to them that the blaze was only getting bigger. So they left the home safely, along with Milo as well. They had to sadly watch helplessly as their home burned up. But they said, you know what?
We made it out.
That's the most important thing. And it's all thanks to their dog, Milo. She says everything else can be put back together. But thanks to Milo for saving the parts of their lives that are truly irreplaceable.
Oh, no.
I think that's so sweet.
It's a very happy story.
Milo saving his own family in Minnesota, in a Minnesota fire. That's what said by Sia for this morning.
A friend of mine posted a picture yesterday on Instagram of a fire burning down a house right near them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I said, oh, hell, what did your neighbors do? Because I thought, well, maybe he'd lit the fire.
It's more than that.
It's horrible.
Well, I was telling you off air yesterday.
Of course, we're seeing all these fires in California, which are just awful. And what's happening is that these, you know, they've got a lot of huge water restrictions and water problems, and there's been a drought in Southern California for the longest time. So people's houses are directly threatened because they build them up on the mountains. Mm. And they have lots of vegetation that's all dry around them. So it's like a tinderbox. It's kind of the same problem Australia has. Once a year, there are huge wildfires in Australia, and the combined with the fact that the air is dry and the vegetation is dry and it's super hot and there isn't enough rain, it turns the whole place into a tinderbox. And you know, over the last couple of weeks they've been showing pictures of just devastation and people being evacuated from their houses and all kinds of things. It must be the most terrifying thing to know that fire is coming and you've got to get out.
It really must. And also the video that I saw one particular video of a woman who filmed her drive as part of the evacuation, and how it isn't, it is far from what we read or what we've heard. And you think about it, you now need to pack up your whole entire life, or really the things that truly matter, to get yourself to safety. And this woman who was filming, and the reason why it made a mark on me, was she had no option but to drive underneath a bridge. Mm. And it's just all orange. Everything to her left and to her right is just full.
Just flame.
In a blaze. And she had to drive underneath this bridge, and she was just narrating the video saying, I hope I make it through, I hope I make it through, I hope I make it through. Because you have no idea, going underneath this bridge, which is a tunnel, whether you'll go on the other side.
And there'll be more fire.
There'll be more fire. Will you be able to drive through it? Will you be able to drive?
Did other people abandon their cars there and block up the thing? I mean, what if you get in there and there's like 20 other cars and people have abandoned them, and now you're stuck in this inferno?
Mm.
Where you can't get out of the tunnel and you'll asphyxiate. You know, most people, they don't die from burning. They die from choking to death.
The smoke.
Whew.
It was that, and also a story I nearly brought up this week as one of my Said by Sia stories, of a policeman who is actually going around with groceries for people in the California region who can't evacuate their homes for various reasons. Yeah. So he was buying groceries, and people were picking this up for example, this elderly woman who isn't mobile enough, and the authorities haven't gotten around to helping her out. But in the meantime, he's delivering water, he's delivering food to these various peoples. And you think about that, you know, what about the people who are old and have no family members around? Or what about the people who have, you know, kids and they can't move just as yet? It's scary.
Well,
count your blessings.
A couple of messages that have come in. David says, hey Gareth, with Stan Lee's unfortunate death, who's in the death pool lead? We actually didn't have Stan Lee on the death pool. I looked at it. I checked yesterday. Because anytime anyone famous dies, we check if they're on the death pool. So, you know, someone has to win all that money. And so far, we haven't had any luck. Because the people who have died haven't been in the death pool.
Mm.
Or they've been worth too little in terms of points. So, I'm sorry. But, of course, I know that there are loads of people who are very, very affected by Stan Lee's death. Because he was there to create imaginary characters and to allow young people to imagine the world. And not even just young people, because those Marvel movies are the best. Oh, I love them. I've watched Infinity War probably 3 times. It's a great movie.
I can't tell you the difference between DC, Marvel, yeah, Spider-Man,
yeah, just Deadpool, shut up, whatever right, the case stop is. Stop right there.
But with the death
stop
of...
Stop it, you.
With the
yourself.
Death of Stan Lee, I have to say, I did more research on who he was and how he started out. And he really led such an incredible life. And I found myself in this YouTube rabbit hole of finding
videos.
What
did you discover that was interesting?
Well. The cool cameos that he did in all of the movies and how funny it was. It was these odd scenes.
He'd play like a bus driver, or he'd be a man in a crowd, or he was in most of his movies. I mean, from a certain date on, he starred in every single one. But yeah, what a guy.
That's a funny quirk.
What a guy. All right. We've also got this message from Kelly. Sia, what were you doing when you went away from Cliff Central?
What didn't I do? That's more the appropriate thing.
Well, go on. Answer a question. Don't be evasive.
No, I spent some time in Joburg. I spent some time in Durban. I spent some time in Cape Town.
No, but she says, what did you do? Just lie around?
Most of my time. And really, that is why I was very selective of the words that I used, in terms of I had the luxury to do so. So I would MC events every now and then.
Yeah.
And that would get me through months of, you know, paying my bills, etc., etc. And at the time, I led a very simpler life living at home. But that was my thing. Other than that,
It was like a gap year.
I was a Santon housewife without the marriage. I'd go for lunches and boozy breakfasts.
Eventually, he ran out of money. Eventually, he ran out of money. That's the short story, Kelly.
Then I needed more money.
Who have we got on the line here? Graham, go ahead. Hey, dude.
Hey, how's it, guys?
What's happening?
Not much. Just getting ready to come up to Jersey to see the family for the weekend.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Where are you coming up from?
From Cape Town, eh?
Lovely. Well, you're going to get some good weather. It looks like it's going to be a very pleasant weekend, and there are lovely people in Joburg. They're not as clicky as you Cape Townians, so get ready.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm still a Jersey boy because I lived there for 27 years. Okay.
All right, so you're familiar.
Just happened to live in Cape Town.
All right,
so, Gareth, I was listening to you about the Cosmo article. I wouldn't feel too bad because the millennials have now taken to calling Stan Lee a sexist and a bigot and a racist.
Yeah, of course.
It took them the sum total of 24 hours to start having a go at a dead man who gave us Marvel Comics.
Yeah, well, dude, I don't think it's all millennials. I mean, I'm very careful about not tarring everyone with the same brush because I know loads of millennials who have senses of humor, who have an ability to appreciate irony, who realize that things have a context. Don't worry about all of them, but there are some, these ones who get offended all the time, and the people who work for Cosmo magazine, clearly, who are just humorless, pointless, irrelevant, uninteresting people. And don't let them get in your way, dude, and never apologize to them. Don't give them any idea that you give a shit about what they think, because you don't.
No, absolutely. Maybe millennial was the wrong word. Let's say perpetually manufacturing outrage.
There we go. Now we're talking. I like it. Tell me, are you coming to see your family now so that you don't have to see them at Christmas time? Is there a strategy here?
No, I don't think so. This is when I get a gap and when they get a gap. Okay. But that sounds like a plan, actually.
Oh, well. You got December plans yet? Have you thought of those things? Have you got a budget? Have you got some holiday arrangements?
Well, I'm in Cape Town, so there's just so much to do here. As long as I can avoid the bus in Camps Bay and buy the cable cars, I'll be fine.
Well, what do you do when all these people from Gauteng come down and ruin Cape Town? And take out.
We go to the cool spots that the rest of the country doesn't know about.
Oh,
people
really?
Come to Cape Town and they're like, right, it's time to go to Camps Bay, cable car, waterfront, let's go.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other things to do. So,
name one of the places that we don't know about that you go to when the rest of the country comes down there.
Oh, I don't know if I might get in trouble with the locals, but I can tell you one spot we'd like to go to.
Just one.
There's a place called Silver Mine on top of the mountain, just past Musenberg.
Silver
Mine. And there's a beautiful lake up there that people don't picnic and swim in during summertime. Because the water goes this like orange color because it's stained from the leaves.
Yeah.
And your hair, actually, when you get out, your hair is really soft and it's just beautiful up there. It's really nice.
Sounds like the Fountain of Eternal Youth.
It could be. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I have all these people on Instagram that I see going off into distant places in the Cape Peninsula and coming back looking great on a Tuesday where they're, you know, wearing bikinis and they got their shirts off and they're standing in the sun and you're like, what do you do on a Tuesday? Oh, I go to Silvermine to go and replenish myself in the Fountain of Eternal Youth. Why are you going, wow, Sia?
I've just Googled Silvermine. I've never seen a picture of this ever. I've never heard of it before. Thanks for revealing one of your trade secrets, Graham. Now Graham, I'm the typical Joe Burger who wants to see this.
It'll be a whole bunch of Cape Townians and Sia.
Yes. Right.
And then he'll bring his entourage and they'll ruin the place.
Yes. In 2 seconds.
No, cheers, welcome. Cheers, right, welcome. Dude.
Thanks, man.
All right, cool, guys.
Cool. Lovely. There's Graham. Okay. I've got to do a wedding next weekend in Cape Town. So
would you be stopping by Silver Mines now?
I don't think so.
No, really. It really looks so quaint. There's a little bridge over one of the dams there. There's a nature reserve to walk around.
All right. Mm-hmm. Coming up, The Burning Platform. We'll be talking to Ivo Fechter about some of the stories in the news this week. And we'll take your thoughts and your calls and your comments. You know how to do that. On 0861-555-189, that's the number to call, like Graham did. If you want to send us a message, 0797-482090. CliffCentral.com